Blessings, Diane. Blessings of Light. This is Spiritual Dynamics. The first class is on the Red Ray. This class is being taught in 1983 at Seeker's Quest in San Jose, California.
The first thing I've got to tell you is, I've got to tell you, no matter what you've learned, it isn't any good at this point. You might as well give that all up and decide that you're going to put that all behind you now. Because in this next week of training, we are creating a new matrix within the subconscious mind that must be polluted by past experiences. In the subconscious mind, we create this matrix pattern of consciousness. And there are certain elements within the pattern that need to be put in there undisturbed and not polluted by some other point of view or some other awareness. If your teachings that you've already gotten has given you God consciousness, has given you your clairvoyance, your clairaudio, your ability to read auras and see the past, the present, and the future, has given you the ability to tap the universal mental banks of consciousness, has given you self-control and confidence in your mind, has given you control over your mind, emotions, and body, then you should leave the room and forget about this training because you're already there. But if your training hasn't brought you to that point, then you don't have the right training or you haven't been practicing correctly. So that's the two things that this part is the red part where we push buttons tonight, see. So I'm going to be going through your consciousness and pushing a few buttons to create action and fire to awaken consciousness. And so whatever you've done, if those things have not come about, self-mastery, self-control, control of your mind, your emotions, your body, ability to tap universal fields of knowledge and understanding, clairvoyance, clairaudio, seeing auras, reading past, present, future, those kind of things, if it hasn't done that, then you must set it aside for this short period of time. And you must make a decision that you'll do the practices that we give you during this particular training. Now, in each class, it has a capsule of that particular class, and at the end of the evening, this class will end. But the training won't end, because that's when the training begins, when this class ends. Because the teaching that we are seeking to bring about is to awaken that teacher that's in you that already has this consciousness. Now, you may think that you have to obtain this consciousness or feel it, that you have to act a certain way to get this consciousness. But in your true nature, as a perfect being of God experiencing, which you may have fallen from that nature at this point, you have all those powers in that true nature, but your personality may be holding you back from them. You've had parental law when you first came into this universe and this time and this space and circumstance of this life. And you came directly under parental law. If you had demon parents, you were raised in a demon way. If you had saintly parents, you were raised in a saintly way. If you had parents that were intellectuals or scientists or teachers or professionals or something to that effect, you were raised in that way. You may have had a parent that was stuck in some of those that saw beyond that and was able to direct you to another way, but no matter what, you had parental law when you first came into this dimension, and parental law is the first law in your subconscious mind. Not God's law, not the higher laws. This is the first law that blinds you to the ultimate reality, the truth in the higher law, is this parental law. But you cannot hate your parents, for they may have had sins that you are suffering from. They may have the sin of anger, or they may have the sin of non-tolerance, or the impatience, or the sin of some other thing. And when I say sin, I mean the separation from reality of what the truth is and the ultimate, what God is and the ultimate reality. And may have been bound in some transitory experience here on this plane of existence. And so you may be suffering from the sins of the Father. And all the masters tell us not to suffer from these sins of the Father. Now you are all your own adult. You're the mother and the father to yourself at this point. And you must take on, but you must love your mother and father. If you put them down, then you are putting your own self down, because you came from that joining of those two beings, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, to manifest this particular existence. And it was the best existence for your particular expression in the whole scheme of things. You're an individual. You're God experiencing as an individual. What God experiences as an individual is differently experiencing in every individual, but it is the same individual. I'm talking subjective, objective. And if you're in a subjective consciousness, then you'll understand this and you'll say, well, there never was any separation. And then if you're in objective consciousness, you'll say, well, gee, I wasn't part of that. I was by myself. And you will get that point of view. But if you see both sides of your brain will awaken and you will have the power of your full being. For you are both subjective, objective in your consciousness. And so loving mother and father is very important, because if you don't love them, that part of you that is them, you will not love either. And you will have an enemy instead of an ally in your own subconscious mind. So the matrix pattern we are creating must start from that first parental law. Now you are a son or daughter of God, and you must take God as your parent. And the master in you will awaken, the teacher in you will awaken, and God will guide you through this parent that's in you. Because there is a mother and a father in every human being. Whether they are male or female, they have both these qualities. Some exercise one more than the other. So for you to have balance of your polarity and to be a balanced being, you must also love mother and father. If you don't love father, then you'll have trouble with your aggressive nature and your assertiveness, because the father represents that role or that model to you, or the masculine polarity in most instances. But you may have had a mother that was more of a father than a mother, and she could have been very aggressive, and you took that aggressive wave from her. See, the polarities have been mingled, and there isn't any strict identity of male and female as there was in ancient cultures. We're having a blending of consciousness here to the being state. And we're uniting states. We even live in the United States. And so we're uniting states of consciousness is what we're doing. And so if you look where you're at and what the area is and the country you're in, and that's telling you a lot too, because that's the second law you fall under. You have parental law, and then you have the social law of the country or the location you were born in. Now, you may be born in the hills, or you may be born in the city, or you may be born down by the ocean, or out by the desert, or someplace you were born, and those people had a law. They had a law, a social law, that you either adhered to, or you got in a lot of trouble. Like I got in a lot of trouble. We left the farm, and we went to the city, and I was going by farm law instead of city law for a while. And when we move from one state to another, we move from these laws. When I'm talking about laws, I mean the way that works, the way that energy works. Now, the parental law and the social law, neither one of those are exacting laws, and they're transitory. They're changing. The parent might say, well, you can do this one time, and you can't do it another time. So the law has changed on you. So social law, parental law, is always a transitory law, and it always changes, and you can't hold to what has been said in the past to the present, because it is a transitory law. Now, there was a time when you couldn't ride down the street here and shoot jackrabbits from a trolley car, but that's kind of ridiculous to have that law now, because we've driven the jackrabbits away, haven't we? They're out someplace else now, and we don't have trolley cars, so that law would be kind of silly to have that law now. But during the time that you can imagine what it's like with everybody having guns, and somebody see a rabbit and whip it out, and someone step in front of them and accidentally shoot somebody, or the bullet ricochet and hurt somebody, and it's an irresponsible act, you see. So the social law was that time, don't shoot the rabbits, you see. But now that law doesn't apply, the transitory law. So you must see that some of the laws that your parents gave you at the time they gave you were for that time. And don't try to bring the past into the present and live in the past. You should be free in the present. The past has brought you to this freedom of now. And so in this reprogramming your subconscious mind, realize that these social laws of the location you were born in, or the culture you were born in, or the race you were born in, or the family you were born in, are all transitory, and they do not apply to spiritual levels of consciousness. Because spiritual levels of law are exacting, the most exacting, and they're always the same, yesterday, today, and always. The truth that was the truth yesterday is the same truth today and will be the same truth tomorrow. The love that was love yesterday is love today and will be the same love tomorrow. These are the eternal laws. Wisdom of God yesterday is the same wisdom today is the same wisdom tomorrow. And so as you start looking at this, you begin to see the difference between this objective, transitory law and plane of existence and this constant plane of existence. And in the Bible, it tells us that one of the days of opening of consciousness or the creation of the world, that we must separate this heaven and this earth. We must separate that which is God's law and that which is man's law. Man's law is like parental law, social law. God's law is like nature's law, cosmic law. These laws transcend the laws of the physical plane as the parents and the social see it. It would be pretty ridiculous in our system of travel now, where they used to have a law where you have to stop at every intersection, blow a horn very loudly, walk out into the middle of the section, shoot a gun, and then go back to your car and take off. Can you imagine what that would be like, people leaving work in San Francisco or out, or leaving here in San Jose if we had that kind of a law? Well, these may sound ridiculous, but they were power at the time they were needed. There may be a law where they say, don't go to this particular neighborhood, or don't go to talk to these kind of people, or this kind of church, or this way of life. And so in your consciousness, in the subconscious mind, that means below the level of your consciousness, below the level of that information that you've experienced, below that is subconscious. If it was conscious, you'd be aware of it right now. Like we bring it up to consciousness to do something with it, then we send it back to the unconscious with the new instructions. So you're re-educating the subconscious mind. You're going to bring things up, and then you'll correct them and send them back into the subconscious mind. Don't maul them over. Don't beat them up. Don't hit them with a stick. Don't jab them, cut them, hurt them, bang them. Simply change them. They're as pliable as plastic. They are very easy to mold and move with when you are in your conscious mind and in control. But as long as they're at the subconscious level, whether they are true or not, they're going to be the basis of your actions. Now let me explain that again. The things in your subconscious mind that you've learned from your parents, society, thus far in life, whether they are truth or not, they are in the subconscious mind and they will be the basis of your actions. You cannot move consciously without a subconscious programming. You had to be taught to walk. You had to be taught to talk. You had to be taught to dress yourself, to clean yourself, to eat. You were taught all of these things. None of these things came natural to you. In fact, you would have died if you didn't have some guides in this dimension when you came into this dimension. If you didn't have a parent or someone to guide you in this dimension, you would have died because you couldn't even walk, you couldn't talk, you couldn't move, you lay there and cry yourself to death. You see, you wouldn't be able to take care of yourself. So that was wonderful that someone took care of you. They had to carry you around. They had to wipe your nose and fanny and feed you and everything else. So remember, when you go to your spiritual father, your parent in the heavenly fields, that they're going to guide you. Mother, Father, God, or God in the one parent consciousness, is going to guide you just as your parents guided you in this dimension. So know that. That's the highest guidance. Don't settle for anything less than the best. Go to the king. If you went into a country and you wanted to do anything you wanted to do in that country, you wouldn't go to a housewife, you wouldn't go to a policeman, you wouldn't go to a doctor, a lawyer, or any of those. You would go to the head man. You go to that one that had authority that could let you operate in that area. Well, that's the same way with spiritual consciousness and higher consciousness. You need to go to the area where you can get direct guidance from the inner planes, from a God-conscious state, and this is the whole object of what this reprogramming is to do, is to create a matrix pattern in this subconscious mind to to go across to transfer your attention from all the experiences that you now have had, everything, to a brand new consciousness, a new awareness in this life, but not a new awareness to your true nature. Now, you may have had glimpses of your God self, you may have glimpses of your Holy Christ self and the Holy Spirit in you, or great beings in you. You may have had glimpses of this. But to maintain that consciousness, you must attune and practice there. So the first thing you must tell your subconscious mind, I am resolved to change. I am determined to change. And this gives you now the okay in the subconscious mind to let the things come up to change that need to be changed. You must be determined to change. If you decide that you're already what you want, then don't come back. I want to tell you that. The reason, because we're going to say things and we're going to do things here that might be contrary to what you are at this time and your point of view of yourself at this time. And so you would have a conflict. You would have to make a choice between me or the teachings and yourself. And that's separation. And I don't want to put you in a position to have that choice, to make that choice. Because we're all one, and in God consciousness, we must stay in that oneness. But I don't want to put you in a position where you're going to have to make a choice against the teachings. And so it would be better not to return if you're not going to practice the teachings, because you won't get it. These techniques that we're going to relate to you must be put into the subconscious mind as a foundation to build this pattern on that's going to be built now for the next 14 to 15 weeks. Some people will come and get some rays. Some people will come and get other rays of consciousness. We feel it's perfect whatever time you come. But be determined when you come to a class that you're going to be self-disciplined enough to do the exercises. And the exercises are very simple, and you may not understand them. You may not find the purpose for them to begin with. It may take you weeks before you realize the purpose. Sometimes it takes years to realize the purpose, depending on how intent you are in doing what you're doing. So the second thing is, I will persist till I succeed. And you should say this as much as possible this next week. I will persist till I succeed. To give you that determination, that self-determination, self-discipline. These are aspects of your self-mastery, not someone else mastering. Now, don't do these things double-conscious, meaning don't be saying them and thinking of other things. If you say, I will persist till I succeed, in your mind you say, I will persist till I succeed, as you're saying it physically. So that you don't have your mind and your talk separate from one another. You're not thinking one way and saying something else. This channel must be a clear, solid channel to your higher consciousness. In the training, I might relate to you some of the things that first happens on the path when you are beginning this type of training. We all see the powers, and we think, oh boy, it'd be wonderful if I could see like that, or hear like that, or be able to get out of my body like that and travel here and there, or have access to ancient wisdom or universal mind, or to be able to do those kind of things, read at a distance, or whatever has brought you here. Something has brought you here. Some desire to have something has brought you here. And that's fine, because that's what we have to offer you. And that's all we have to offer you, the things that we can demonstrate. We can't live up to some image you might have of us. You might think that a spiritual man has to be this way or that way. You might think that he has to have gray hair and dressed in this kind of robe or that kind of robe, or be in this religious structure or that religious structure. Well, I love all religions. I love God everywhere. So whatever religion you're practicing or whatever belief you're in, I'm in that belief also. So understand that. I'm here to give, and I can give you only what I have to give. We know that these techniques work because they're not new, for one. It's not something we're experimenting with. The techniques that I'm going to give you over these weeks are techniques that have been used for thousands of years by millions and millions of people. This isn't something that I'm telling you that, and we just set some place and thought up and said, let's try this out on the people. The training has been on the planet and has been your heritage all along. And so we're not bringing you anything new. We're bringing you tried and true methods of attainment. And it would waste your time to come here each week and not attain something from it in a good way, because that's all we have to give is good for you. We want you to be the master of yourself, physically, emotionally, mentally, psychically, creatively, individually, spiritually. To do what you want to do, go where you want to go, and be what you want to be. And as long as it's not breaking the will of God or God's law, then you can do whatever you want to do. And it's wonderful to have that freedom. And I speak from that kind of freedom. That's the kind of freedom I have. I go where I want to go, do what I want to do, be what I want to be. And I have a wonderful experience in this life because I practice these teachings. And I began practicing these teachings back in 1974. So I haven't been that long practicing the astrophysics techniques that I'm sharing with you. But they have brought me quite a distance in that short period of time. But they, at first, want all of your attention. And that's the first step that you must practice, is to get your attention. Without the ability of sustained attention, you will not have success. I was watching some Qigong masters the other night. Gung Fu, they call it Wushu and some other names. And they had this one man, and they took, and they had two men, and they put this rope around his neck, and both of them jerked as hard as they could and was pulling as hard as they could to try to choke this man with this rope around his neck. Anybody else would have choked. But he had called upon his inner strength and power and concentrated it on his throat. If he would have broke that concentration, he would have been dead. If he broke that concentration, he would have been dead. There was another fellow that took a spear, a three-pronged spear, trian, I think they call it. And he takes and he goes like this with a piece of wood, and the wood sticks on this spear, and he takes it off. And then he gets up on this table, and he has two men hold the spear, and he lays on the spear with his arms and his legs out with this thing sticking in his stomach. He concentrated his chi force there, his life force there, his energy there. If he would have broke his concentration, he would have been penetrated. When you are starting this path, if your attention waves in some of the areas, you may be penetrated by forces that will mislead you and misguide you. You may be penetrated by the forces of past experiences, by what someone else has said or some other belief that you had before you began to create this matrix that we're talking about. So in order for your aura to be protected, you must have this attention. And that's the first step to the path of enlightenment, is to gain your attention. Now, during this week, you should look to see where your attention is and be conscious of your attention, because that's the key word for this week, attention. Attention is energy. The energy that you have is called your life. Wherever you're paying attention, you are paying your energy, or you're giving your life. So to have life more abundant, we want to risk or take away that attention from all the areas that it is not having a beneficial effect upon your consciousness, that is not taking you in the directions that you want to go. Because wherever you pay attention, that's where you go. That's how you direct your consciousness, by whatever you're paying attention to. Now watch as I'm giving instructions here, that many of your attentions drift to other things. You're thinking, your mind is going over to something that happened in the past, some other principle that you might have learned, some other awareness that you have become aware of, instead of paying attention. Every word, you might have missed the word that gave you the enlightenment. There was a master named Supermunium, and he's on the island of Kauai, and he has the University of Contemplative Arts and Sciences. And when I was studying with him in his mastership training, he said, if you miss one word of what I've said, or you've missed one word in a constructive consciousness in the past, you've got misinformation and misunderstanding in your consciousness. I said, my goodness, I'm going to train myself not to miss a word. So I put on this tape that he had, and this was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I said, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to the bathroom. I'm not going to get up until I listen to this tape, and it's only an hour long. But every time my attention goes, I'm going to start this tape over. Well, I did okay for about 2 or 3 seconds until somebody went walking down the hallway and my attention went off and I had to start the tape over again. I got maybe about 10 minutes into it and my attention went again. Well, this went on all day long, and it wasn't until after 10 o'clock that night that I heard that 1 hour uninterrupted. But I didn't stop after noon. I didn't stop at 2. I didn't stop at 3. I didn't stop at 4. I stopped when I completed what I said I was going to do. And it was to pay attention without letting my mind drift from the words. If I missed one word, I had to start all the way over again. And several times I'd get into that last 10 or 15 minutes of that tape and my attention would waver and I'd bring it back. Without this concentrated, sustained attention, freed attention, you'll find that you will not be able to maintain your higher levels of consciousness. It takes that steady, concentrated attention. The mind now likes to jump around like a bird fluttering from limb to limb, or a monkey jumping from limb to limb, or a butterfly from flower to flower. It's always got something else it can talk about. This isn't your natural way. Because when you were a child, you didn't think all the time. You had many days of beautiful, clear awareness. And in order for you to come into the higher kingdom, you must come again as a child. But once you get into the kingdom, you can't stay a child. You can't be childish. You must mature within this kingdom we're talking about. So we're talking about this inner kingdom of consciousness. So in this attention, your attention has been going out up to this point. You've been sending it outward, outward. You've been paying attention to things outside of yourself. Now the attention must come where you pay attention within yourself, to the point of having two-thirds of your consciousness turned inwards and towards your higher self and God's self. Your mind turned up and your spirit turned upward. Inward and upward. And so the attention must be reversed. To move this attention, we have a simple tool. It's an ancient tool. It's called the Rainbow Bridge. When I was studying in the beginning, I remember a lot of people that was on the path when I was passing through psychic fields and those fields wanted me to get a crystal ball or cards or pendulum or astrology or numerology or palmistry or some system to convey what I was getting through the higher kingdom. And this was the way the people that I was hanging around with at that particular time was getting it out. They would do the pendulum, or they had the cards, or they had the crystal, all this. My grandmother worked with a crystal ball. She worked with cards. She worked with seeing and things like that. And I didn't want to have to carry that stuff around. You see? I says, well, I don't want to have to run to a book to get an answer. I don't want to have to take and hold my pendulum and swing it to get an answer. I don't want to have to wait that long. I want spontaneous answers. I want my answer now. And so the master says, to have instant answers, you must have instant attention. And if your attention is dwelling on your thoughts, or it's dwelling on the past, or something else outside of your goal, then you're defeating your achievement. You're not obtaining because your attention is drifting. How many times did you start something and notice how many times you were pulled off of that? What if every time you're pulled off, you died a little bit? What if they took a finger, a hand, an arm, you know? We wouldn't have anything, would we? if we were bound to that law that says your attention can't drift. In that constant attention, you may think, gee, this is restricting and binding. I've got to get this attention so pinpointed. No, that's the wrong point of view. The attention that we're talking about must be relaxed and open, and expanding attention in words. Not pinpointed, not narrow, but a... This is tape one, side two. Remember when you ask for something positive, that anything negative in your way will come up. Remember, when you ask for anything positive, whatever is negative in your way will come up. Whatever's stopping you from getting that, that will come up. That's good. You want it to come up so it's in your conscious mind so you can now masterfully change it. So you look for these things that are holding you up. You greet them when they come up and say, oh, I'm glad to see you, because now we can get this thing straightened out, and you then correct it. And then let it drift back down into the subconscious mind. If you do this weakest, that is the way it will be impressed in your consciousness. If you do this medium or mediocre, that's the way it'll be impressed. If you do this intense and with purpose, that's the way it'll be impressed. So when these things come up, that is the moment of confrontation. That's the moment of success. Because if you let them go, they'll go back into the subconscious mind, and they'll get the rest of that matrix pattern. It's in there that justifies it and brings that up, and now you have a whole lot of things to handle. So whatever it is that comes up that you don't want, immediately change it. Because when you ask for something positive, whatever's holding you up will come up. And if you don't change it, it'll go back down, and that'll be the block against having it. And it's that simple. And it is that simple, and we must keep it that simple and not try to complex this. When you go into your subconscious mind, there is two principles that you must understand. The first principle Jesus gave us in the Beatitudes, and it was, the first is last, and the last is first. When you go into your subconscious mind, the first thing you come to is the last thing that was put in. When you go into your subconscious mind, the first thing you come to is the last thing that was put in. And so, the first is last, and the last is first. The last then will be the first. And as you go back, you won't get back to the first till last. You see what I'm saying? You won't get back to this innocent mind as a child and clear at that point, until you have eliminated all those things that have bound you there. Now, when these things come up, I would suggest you ask yourself a question. Is this the effect, or is this the cause? Whatever comes up from your subconscious there, you're asking it, is this the effect, or is it the cause of what is happening? If it is the cause, then when you eliminate it, all other effects will collapse. But if it's only an effect, you'll only be eliminating one of the symptoms, and the cause may have had many effects or many symptoms. If it says in your consciousness, if you realize that it is only an effect and not the cause, then you say, what is the original cause of this? And you might find it even goes out of your life to another time, another space, another culture, another people that say, well, the Romans used to do that, or the ancient Egyptians did that, or the ancient Israelites did that, or the ancient Mayans did that, or, you know, some other time or other space, then you'll realize that you're under a law that has been put into your consciousness, not of this time period, but of another time period. And sometimes we agree with other time periods in this time period and get bound. Some people are still wanting Roman law, and some are still want tyrant rule, and some, you know, still want to live out in the woods and all of that. And, they try to bring other time periods into this time period.
It's like dressing up on Halloween in all the fancy costumes or down at the Mardi Gras or something. It's a fantasy. You're here now. There's no other time. There's no other space for you. There's only here and now. So when you go in there and you find that cause may have been at some other time period or some other time in your life, that's when you correct it. You correct it. Say, okay, I correct it. I no longer will fall under this domination. I now wish to be free, and I sacrifice this cause. Now, you need to sacrifice those things that you no longer want. Just as you have to excrete from eating food and you take the good and the life out of it and you excrete the non-essential to your body and consciousness, that's the same way with the experiences of your life. You must eat the nectar and sip the nectar and spit out the bitter and the parts that do not give you nourishment. You must excrete, not hold on to any of the garbage that's there. So this is an excretion that you're doing. You're excreting from you those things, those negatives, those things that are holding you up from having this higher consciousness. The second principle to learn when you're going in your subconscious mind, the first one was the first is last and last is first. The second principle to learn is whatever has been the most power over you is the most power in your subconscious mind, has the most power in your subconscious mind. And it may be there at the gate every time because it has gained so much power. And then the first is last, and the last is first. Then the natural law doesn't work. The perverted law is working on you. Meaning there's something that has a monopoly of your consciousness bound up in your subconscious mind. Well, that's good too, because when you find that bugger, when you find that junkyard dog, you know, then you will be free, because once you win over the biggest, all the lesser ones then fall under your dominion. See, when you fall over this heaviest habit or heaviest condition reaction or heaviest thing, it goes on in the subconscious mind. And we'll talk more about subconscious mind in that next week. We'll just give you some of this information, because instinctively these things happen coming out of memory and they do pull from the subconscious mind. It's all hooked together. That is the diamond you're looking for. Knowing the first is last, or the last is first, or the monopoly of consciousness that is there in your subconscious mind. Because that has been swaying every other part of your subconscious mind. It has been ruling over and has been dominating and causing to action those things, the other things of your subconscious mind. You may have great intentions to do things, but you might have a consciousness that you put off things when you were younger. And now you want to get something done, and you can't figure out why you don't want to get it done, because you didn't want to listen to what mom said, you don't want to listen to what dad said, you don't want to listen to those teachers, you don't want to listen to all that, I want to do it myself consciousness, but you didn't know what to do yourself. So there you got this block in the subconscious mind, you know, because you didn't listen to anybody, and then you did what you wanted to do, and then you found out that wasn't what you wanted to do because you didn't want to hurt yourself. You didn't want to go through this kind of pain and all these things. So see, you want to get that out of there. Get that type of consciousness, that point of view, that ego part of your consciousness under your dominion, because you're not your body. You're using this body. And this body has changed since you've been in it. It's not that little baby body anymore. It's a grown-up body. And it is changing right now. Cells are changing in it. And someday you will take this body off, and you will go in your light body, in your body of spirit, in higher dimensions of consciousness, in the eternal reality of things. And you'll no longer be bound in this transitory world. You'll be with God, you'll be with Christ, you'll be with the Masters, you'll be with the Holy Spirit of God. You'll be in the everlasting life that has no dawning or dusk and all of the transitory things of this duality that you're in. So this body is like clothes, you'll take it off someday. And the best way to get right relationship with this body is to be able to get out of it consciously and back into it consciously. When you are paying attention inward, it must come to the degree that you are not aware of anything outside of your body. This attention must be so dynamic that it does not have any outer attention to it, only inward. It must become so dynamic that when you pay attention in, that there is nothing else that you are aware of. That's when you realize you are really directing to the inner world. Now, where's the safest place to be for you as in yourself? And the self is God, and you then are in God. So you are looking for a mystical union. You're looking for the mystical union, meaning becoming aware of self-aware. So your attention must go into that point. Now, this may happen to you in the first time you do it. It may take weeks, it may take months, it may take years. I did it in a matter of just a very few days because of the intent I had and the power I had. I had given my life up, and I said, okay, God, now you take my life. I gave up complete control over my life for the power and for the consciousness to do God's work. I'm no longer a chef, and I'm no longer doing that kind of work. I'm now doing God's work, and I've been doing it for many years. But it was that dynamic inward thrust of attention. Now, if you're paying attention, and you're seeing in, and you're hearing inward, and that, you're still not there. That's only the first level. When you see in, and you hear in, and you may get some inner smells, or you may get inner tastes, or inner feelings, that's all the first level of attention going in. You have to go past that door. The next one you have to go past is all the sweet sensations that go on. And so you will find you have sensations in your body. There may be little electrical charges going through your body, or little cool rushes or hot rushes or the wavering, or you feel like you're floating and all these kind of things. You've got to get past that one, because that's only the second level of inward thrust to attention. And those things will keep you from getting to this point of dynamic attention. And so this is what we're seeking to do, is to take it in. And this rainbow bridge is to start that transference. And in the intent and of going in is to have this mystical union with yourself that is God experiencing, to realize your God self, an individual application of God right here, experiencing right now. And many of you, as I can see here, have tried in this way, and I looked at you, some of you have touched that, but you're not maintaining it, you see. So we're going to give you the practices of maintenance. When we were over this summer, we had a 40-day intensive, and we had our teachers, and one of the things we did is we assigned everybody something they had to do. And we had this big mansion. It was a $687,000 mansion on an acre of land, beautiful trees, and it was a beautiful place. It had a living room that could hold maybe 75, 80 people, 100 people in that big living room we had there, beds and all this. So each person, we assigned them a space. And when they first looked at this space, they said, oh my goodness, this is quite a job. How am I going to get this done? And we only give them an hour to keep it clean. But they got 1 hour a day, you see. And 7 days makes 7 hours, right? So on and so forth. But when they first look at the job, they said, oh my God, I have to clean this whole room? And I said, now this room has to be spotless because we're asking God to come in. And we want to have this room clean. We want all up around the edges all clean. We want the walls all clean. We want the floors all clean. We want the windows and the window seals all clean. We want this room spotless. Oh my goodness, this is such a job, they're thinking. I'm walking around reading minds. I'm watching how they're thinking and watching, oh no, they're saying this, and some are saying, oh good, I get to do this, and some of them are planning how they're going to do it and all this. But most of them thought, what a big job this is, we have to take care of this all by ourselves here. And so when they all come in, I says, okay, now when you first went in there, you thought it was a big job, huh? And all of them go, wonder how we knew that. You see, all you had to do was just watch the people, what was going on. It was right there, was no secret, you see. Someone looks at something, they go, you know, something is going on. They're not just going, okay, and they're reacting to it. And so, after about 4 or 5 days, I said, now how is the job? Oh, good. Some of them that couldn't get done in an hour are now getting done in 20 minutes and helping others. I says, when you're done with yours, go help someone else do theirs. But in that hour, you're working, that's called guru serva, to serve the guru, the teacher. And the teacher you're serving is the teacher in you. And so you're serving the teacher, which is God, in you. And that's what the hour was for. And so you're doing this for God's sake. You're not doing it for my sake. You're not doing it for your personality. You're not doing it for the other people around here. You're doing this for God's sake. So for God's sake, do these exercises, you see. Do these for the sake of God, not for your personality, not for me, and not for anybody else. Do it for that part of you that is God experiencing so that you can have that mystical union. And so in this transfer of consciousness, and that's exactly what you're doing, is transferring your attention from your fixed position now to a different point of view. And you're not going to stay there in that point of view. It's a transitory movement to start with. And you will make many changes before you get to that point of view, that ultimate point of view of God experiencing. And so that's the mystical union you're looking for. You're looking for that merging again. You're not alone. I mean, you can call mom, you can call dad to come and help you, heavenly parents to help you, mother, father, God, help me, God, help me, the Father, help me. Whatever you feel the closest connection with, that's what polarity you're working on now. Remember that. The mother, the father, and the son, the family, you see. The Godhead is a family, that consciousness. Where mother and father, God, come together, that's where the sons and daughters of God are, see. So there's a seen, mother part. All of manifestation is the mother. All that which is unmanifest is the Father. And so this is the consciousness, and this is the interpretation, and it's that simple. I don't want you to get